Welcome back, Market Watcher. I'm David Revell, and this is Value Side at the Close. Our time to review just what happened on Wall Street today, as well as take a technical look at stocks. Today, once again, energy shines as stocks continue their rebound from Monday's drubbing. Well, it was a good day to be in the stock market, but few other investments fared as well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up more than 500 points, with all major stock averages up at least a percentage point or more. There is one particular group that continues to perform especially well, and that's energy. Energy is the 1 day, 1 week, and 1 month winner based on their performance. And that makes perfect sense if one assumes two things. One, the economy will continue to grow, and two, price inflation will also continue. Then energy is the perfect combination by participating in primary industrial and transportation growth, and for most of the energy companies, they have that added boost of benefiting from price inflation, which drives up their reserves. Oil companies in particular gain as those barrels of crude in the ground become more valuable thanks to inflation. Now, the flip side of this inflation-based roller coaster is the bond market, down today on just exactly the same outlook. Rising prices, you see, do not help make the fixed return of bonds very attractive. The 30-year Treasury today down 2 full percentage points. Among individual issues, the big issue today was hearing aid company Eargo. Eargo stock down a whopping 68% on the news that they're being sued for improper insurance reimbursements. Now, reviewing our technical perspective of the market, it shows just how hard the blow was on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average remains below its 50-day moving average in spite of that 500-point gain today. The positive news here is that both the Standard & Poor's 500 and the NASDAQ at last were able to climb above their respective 50-day moving averages. For the average stock, like the Dow itself, they find themselves still struggling to surmount that 50-day moving average. One more day like this, however, should do the trick. So overall, a very good day for stocks, with bonds and precious metals retreating. Stay tuned for today's market comment, Disclosure. Well, for 88 years, the United States has operated under the most transparent and all-encompassing financial regulations in the world. And it all came about because of our own financial crisis. This massive reform was begun rather ironically at the heights of the Great Depression in the 1930s. This country was reeling from a depression brought about because of the implosion of our own financial system just a few years before, in what we now call the Great Stock Market Crash of 1929. In order to understand this great reform movement, we need to step back a decade or so to the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, a time of flappers, nightclub, and easy money. It was the best of boom times, with stories of overnight millionaires and stock market riches. Enterprising stock speculators had no trouble getting money. Loans were easy to come by, and what's more, you could pile loan upon loan, multiplying your leverage, with little disclosure needed for each additional loan. It created a mania, a time when everybody but everybody wanted to get a piece of the action on Wall Street. Perhaps the most famous investor of the time, Bernard Baruch, says in his autobiography that he knew prices had reached an astronomical level and that it was time to get out of the market when his shoeshine person started touting stocks. When the uninformed declare that something is a sure thing, it's time to head for the hills. Does all this sound familiar? It should. We're hearing the same sort of thing now from China. It's 1928 all over again at the Middle Kingdom. As we watch the unfolding crisis day by day over at Evergrande Real Estate Group, we see the same lack of disclosure that was so prevalent here in the USA back in the 20s. There is simply no disclosure. Apparently no one knows exactly who owns what or who is owed what. We're told that Evergrande has reached an agreement with the Chinese bondholders and that an interest payment that was due earlier this week is now no problem. Really? Was the interest payment made? We really don't know. Will the bond interest payment due today be paid? We really don't know. Disclosure, there really isn't any. Exactly how much does Evergrande owe in total debt? We're told that even the Chinese regulators don't know exactly how much Evergrande owes to offshore investors, a group which includes BlackRock, among others. It's all taken care of with a wink and a nod. Today, Chinese regulators have informed Evergrande that they should pay their bond interest rates, and by the way, Evergrande should also continue their construction projects, three-quarters of which Evergrande recently stopped building. No kidding. Evergrande should return all operations back to normal, back to how things were a couple of months ago? Well, that's easier said than done. But what if there's no cash? What if Evergrande's pockets are empty? What if Evergrande has millions, no, make that billions, in undisclosed liabilities? What if, at its heart, Evergrande is a giant Ponzi scam, paying off current bills not from operational income, but from additional infusions of cash? And what if those infusions, in the form of new issues of stocks and bonds, have now dried up? It's all possible. In fact, it's looking increasingly likely. But then again, we won't know until there's full disclosure, until regulators and investors demand to see the complete audited books for Evergrande. It was a lesson we learned the hard way. It will be 92 years ago this October 24th. We call it the Great Stock Market Crash. And that's ValueSign for Thursday, September 23rd. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying for those left behind in Afghanistan.